The title of my sermon this afternoon is God's Light. God's Light. No batteries required. Yeah, you know, Mr. Cimino was talking about the number of moons before the feast. Well, we're almost through 5 months of this calendar year. You know what starts, what starts June 1st, correct? In Florida? Hurricane season. Yes. Not trying to be a downer here, but we need to start preparing. Hurricane season's right around the corner. And they are projecting with all the heat and the water out there some interesting months to come. But when the power has gone off, which it occasionally does during hurricanes, especially at night, because hurricanes have a tendency to come at night, some occasionally during the day, but at night, the power goes off. Isn't it comforting to know that you have something close at hand, whether it's a flashlight, whether it's a light on your phone, some form of light to show you how to get around in your house, unless you're like me. It's usually not nearby, and when it happens, my thought is, yeah, I know I've got something somewhere, but what do I have to do now? I have to get up in the dark. I have to go looking for it in the dark, which is usually stumbling, bumping into things, because I can remember my mother, on her right foot, her little toe was always crooked. And it's because it seemed like her little toe was magnetized to anything in the house, whether wood, metal, whatever. It always found it. And she was always stubbing it. So I always remember that with my mom. But of course, like I said, it's always good to plan, and we should be planning now, especially with the hurricane season coming, to have our things ready, our supplies ready, and to have it in easy reach. But even with the physical brightness of a man-made light, it is of no comparison to the brightness of God's spiritual light that is available to us today and every day. We just have to go to God seeking it today and every day. Darkness is equated to wickedness. And if you would, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. In Proverbs 4, verse 19, we read, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." So we see darkness is a picture of sin and depravity in this world. But God is light. And in Him is no darkness. There is no darkness in God. And if you would, turn to 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, let's begin in verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, as it's being declared unto us today, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with God," with Him, "and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth." Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As God's begotten children, for that future that he has shown us, that we understand that we have been called to walk in the light, to be like Jesus Christ, our elder brother. If you're still in 1 John, let's go to chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shines, and our past life of darkness has been washed away. At baptism, the old man has died. The new man lives. And through God's Holy Spirit, we received after baptism, the laying on of hands, that new life that we're a part of and to be growing in. Verse 9, he that says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Because we are not to be hating our brother, but to be loving everyone. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. And we need to remember that. We are to be learning and growing of not to hate, but to love, to show that mercy, that kindness, that serving attitude. You know, just like leaving flashlights in items too long, and it tends to corrode, and it ruins whatever the batteries are in contact with, you wind up tossing it, throwing it away. Well, Satan is trying to apply that in our life today. Satan has corroded mankind from day one, with his lies and his craftiness. He wants mankind to be discarded. He wants to try to disrupt God's plan. In John chapter 14, we know Satan is real. We are shown his devices. We are told through God's word. We're to resist Satan, and he will flee from us. But in John 14, verse 30, Christ is speaking here and says, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me." That prince of this world, being Satan, is still alive today. And he will be. Until he will still be alive, but he will be bound with him and his demons at Christ's return and put away for 1,000 years. But we still have to fight that struggle until that time of Christ's return, to be prepared, to be fighting, to maintain that belief, that faith, that hope, and trust in Almighty God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We see the deceitful workers all around us in the world today. We see people that have transformed themselves as Satan can transform himself. In verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. People talk. And they talk good things. But is it true? Is it the truth that they're speaking? In most cases, possibly not. Because God's word is truth. If it's not coming from God's word, then we have to be aware. We have to be watchful. In Ephesians 2, Satan is a master at his craft. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. A lot of people do not realize they're disobedient. Satan has done his job well. He is confused. He has caused people in this world to believe things that are not godly. Because the confusion that's found and fostered in today's world by Satan the devil, the author of confusion, is worldwide. And we must not be caught up in the confusion that Satan is creating, and he continues to create, as the current ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, people ask, well, is the devil real? In God's word, you go to God's word, it explains. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And there are a lot of people that do not believe. They have their own beliefs, other religions, other gods that they're looking to. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God is not opening this truth to everyone today. We have been called by God. We have been offered that truth. We have been offered that opportunity to accept that calling and to follow what God instructs us to do. You know, evilness is not being suppressed in this world. Instead, what's the world doing? They're elevating evil and calling it good. And they're suppressing good, calling it evil. We've seen that in some of the rules and laws that they're trying to pass or have passed in different governments around the world. In John chapter 8, verse 44, we're covering different aspects of Satan and all of some of his devices, his names, his capabilities, which are vast. He's wanting to destroy God's plan. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Christ was speaking, saying, you are of your father, the devil. Pretty strong words. And the lust of your father, you will do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Even today, there is no truth in him. There never will be truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. we see how Satan is deceiving through deception, through lies, through whatever aspect he can use in our life, twisting, turning, manipulating the world, causing that opportunity that's occurring in the world to impact us, whether through our thoughts, our beliefs, anxieties, fears, whatever it may be. But we must remember that God is our provider. God is our protector. There is no one, nothing greater than God. His light shines on us. And God is thorough, very thorough in all that he does. As it has been revealed to us in his great plan of salvation for mankind, which we know was set even before the foundations of the world were formed. It was already in place. We know that God hasn't formulated a half-baked plan. He doesn't do things wishy-washy. There's no improvising. There's no winging it with God. And he's not making things up as time goes along. God is in charge. God knows everything. And we know that his plans for mankind, for us, are going to be fulfilled. We're one day closer. It's going to happen. A momentous occasion for us to be those first fruits, to be resurrected into the spiritual family of God upon Christ's return. So what's the next holy day that we'll be observing? Be the Feast of Trumpets. That's coming at the time of Christ's return. What a marvelous event. If you would turn to Psalms 104, verse 30, Psalms 104. Psalms 104, verse 30 and 31. Thou sendest forth your spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. And we know when Christ returns, he will be in charge. He, with his resurrected saints, will be there teaching, helping in the renewal process, which we will all be a part of if we endure to the end. Because we're there as sons and daughters of God, assisting with the teaching of mankind about God's plan of salvation. What a wonderful time ahead of us. Christ is the spiritual light of the world. He is our spiritual light. In John chapter 8, verse 12. A light that does not require any other source power. It's God's power. That is the ultimate. No batteries required. In John 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He spoke to them back then that he was the light of the world. He's speaking to us today that he is still the light of the world. He is our light. He is our source, our power, if we follow God and his Son, Jesus Christ. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we can have that light of life, that eternal light of life in God's family. If you're still in the book of John, let's go back to John 1 and just stay in John because there's a couple more sections here I'll be covering in John. Just giving you a heads up. In John 1, starting in verse 4, I'll read through verse 10. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This world cannot comprehend, because God has not opened their eyes, God has not opened their ears to understand God's plan, God's words. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. This John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, John the Baptist. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. That light, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You know, sometimes I wonder, as we read about Christ's life, if we were living back in that time, would we have been one that would have recognized our Savior, would have recognized Jesus as the Son of God, or would we be the one still in darkness, not able to recognize? I mean, we've all had a part in Christ's crucifixion. We have all sinned. But God has said, I've called you to be a very part of my family. Here, repent, be baptized, receive my Spirit. Be a part, grow, continue to grow. Don't shirk that responsibility, as Mr. Cimino said. Don't shirk that responsibility of telling people about God's truth. You know, you're asked a direct question, answer it with a direct answer. The hope that lies within us, let's speak, let's act, let's live God's way. Let's go to John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. John 3, starting in verse 19. Again, Christ is speaking. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or examined. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You ever feel sometimes when you're hearing and you're reading about things that are occurring in this, not only in our nation, but parts of the world, how that dark veil seems to be coming down over the different nations, where they don't really understand truth anymore. They don't understand law and order anymore. It's like, we're going to do what we think is right in our own eyes. As it says back in the time of Noah, the things that are occurring, again, as we said, they consider evil things as good, and good things as evil. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to accept the truth. But the light is still there from Christ and God our Father, and we know it is. In John chapter 9, John chapter 9, verse 5. The words of Christ again. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, Satan is the god of this world now, but Christ is the light of the world. and will always be. Always. Let's go to John chapter 12. And then I'll move on from John. Just so many things. And I'm just touching this, you know, barely scratching the surface. In John chapter 12, verse 35 through 36. I mean, wherever Christ is speaking, we should be paying and focused and our attention directly to understand the spiritual meaning of these words. They were spoken then, but they apply to us today and will apply to those tomorrow. Then Jesus said unto them, verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. We today need to stay in God's light. Once you move from that light, you start to venture into that darkness. That is Satan's zone. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be eclipsed by that. We want to stay in God's light through His Word, through our studies, our prayers, our meditation, our fasting. Our faith and hope in Christ keeps us in that light because we know He is returning. How do we know that? Well, He told us. His Word is truth. God's Word is truth. It's here. You know, the different forms of light that we see, you know, the rainbow that God gave Noah as a promise of not flooding the world again, all the vivid colors of the rainbow, all the different vivid colors of gems that God has created for us to see in the jewelry, in different areas that are being mined. These colors, when you're looking at that light, and you're thinking of yourselves as what you will be in God's family. You know, are there different colors that you really like? Emerald, ruby, amethyst. What are they? Can you associate yourselves with that type of brilliance and that color and that beauty of how we, being a very family of God, will have that same beauty and more? The eternal beauty of God's plan for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, there are those in the past that have come before us. And there are those today and those that will be coming after us that will be known as a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you should announce forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Do we do that? When we're talking to our Father in heaven, do we acknowledge that? To Him, to that gift that He has given us, that He's presenting to us. He's handing it to us. Here it is. Work for it. Receive it. It's there. Your actions will determine how you progress towards that goal. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14, here we see Christ speaking to us, saying that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Do you feel that way? Do you feel like you're the light of the world? How you prepare yourself each day? Because each day is very important, not only to us, but to God. How do we project ourselves? How do we live? How do we involve God in our life each day? Is that a light? As was stated earlier, in one word, how would you be described if someone was to describe you? Would you be considered, in more than just one word, a light to the world, a light to others, a light to one another in here? You know, God's light. It's not our light. It's God's light being projected through us and by us, by His power. In Psalm 119, verse 103. You know, talk about stumbling in the dark, looking for that flashlight, or looking for some form. You know, it's amazing the different things you have on you. Your car keys has a battery, your flashlight's a battery, your phone has a battery, tablets, clocks, whatever. All these batteries, smoke detectors that we have to remember, hopefully, to review and check and change on a timely basis. But Psalm 119, starting in verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. And God has given that gift of our different senses. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, through your teachings, I get understanding. And we continue to ask God for that wisdom, that understanding in our life from His word, that spiritual meaning. Therefore, I hate every false way. He says, I hate every false way. I don't hate just some that I want to pick and choose that I know about. No, I hate every false way. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's the path that we should be taking directly to God each and every day. And if your path is lit and you're paying attention, you're not going to be stumbling. You're not going to be weaving, walking different paths. You're going to stay in the straight and narrow that God wants us to, toward His family. In Revelations 21, starting in verse 23. Something is coming in our future. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in. The city didn't need that. For the glory of God did illuminate the city. God's glory, God's light. And the Lamb is the light thereof. God and His Son. Continuing in verse 24 and 25. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night thereof. Now you're thinking to yourself, wow, no night? Well, I'm going to be awfully tired. I'm going to be sleepy. Especially when it starts getting dark now. I want to go to bed. I don't know what it is. When the sun goes down, I get sleepy. Well, we're not going to be physical. We're going to be eternal. Sleep doesn't doesn't enter into the vocabulary. We're eternal. We're children of God. The lights will be there. God and His Son. In Revelation 22, let's read verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And we are to be a part of that. In verse 16 of the same chapter, Christ speaking these words. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. All of this light, all this godly light that we're speaking of here, they're all tremendous events that lies ahead of us. And for those that have died, they're awaiting that resurrection. They're waiting for Christ's return. One of those is King David. And if you would, start turning to Psalm 51. Starting in verse 2. Psalm 51, verse 2. King David, a man after God's own heart. His examples, his words, his psalms. Psalm 51, verse 2. David says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Do we ask God in those particular words to wash me from my iniquity? Cleanse me of my sins when we go to God to repent on a daily basis. You know, David was asking God to cleanse him over and over so that there would be no trace of sin or iniquity left, no darkness. He did not want to have any darkness left on him. We should follow this example. We should have that attitude as well, and I'm sure we do, in our daily life when going to God in prayer. Do we know every nook and cranny of ourselves, in our mind, in our heart, that we're still not cleansed? There's still that dark areas that we just cannot see by ourselves, that we need to be asking God to fully cleanse us? Thoroughness and cleaning is not accomplished by a quick once-over. It's not like going through a car wash, because if you've gone through car washes, you know once you get through the car wash, you can walk around your car and see areas that it did not clean. There's still those dark areas, those dirt areas on your vehicle. God's calling is not a quick car wash. It's not a quick once-over. It is a thorough process. A deep cleaning and a complete washing by God to make sure every bit of dirt, every sin, every uncleanness and darkness is removed in our life. It's a daily process. And the brightness of God's light should shine through us to others. We don't keep it buried within us. We project it to others. Let our light shine. I don't know how many of you mothers out there are probably remembering when your kids were smaller. They would go take a bath or go wash up or whatever, and all of a sudden they're back out of the bathroom. I'm done. What would be one of your questions? Well, you wash behind your ears? Because I remember as a little kid, out all day, wherever, doing whatever, doing something like that. Of course, you could just go, whoop, no, get back in there, you know. Either that or she'd drag you outside and hose you down with a hose, whatever, while beating you with a big stick. I'm just kidding about the big stick. Sometimes. If you're still in Psalm 51, let's go to verse 3. David continuing, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." We can see our sins ever before us. We need to be able to recognize them and be able to go to God to ask forgiveness of those. Verse 4, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge." You know, David acknowledged his wrong. And he was very specific in who he had wronged. And this applies to us today when seeking forgiveness and to stay in God's light. God knows everything. God wants us to understand. And we do that. He knows everything, but we also need to be able to go to God and ask Him to show us where we need to improve to continue moving forward. Psalm 51 and verse 10. David asks, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence." We don't want to be in that darkness. We want to always be in God's presence, in God's light. "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy willing spirit." We've heard a lot about the heart. We've heard a lot about the mind and the spiritual aspects of that. Like David, we need a clean heart. And whatever is being taken away, we need to fill it up with God's word, God's truth, God's light, so that we're not cast away, but to be restored with the joy of God in God's salvation. We need to remember that true thoroughness is motivated by the awareness. We have to be aware of our actions every day. An awareness that each job that we do or we're assigned will be personally inspected by the Lord. God is watching. How do we react? How do we live each day? Whether it's on the job, at school, at home, here at services, in God's holy congregation on the Sabbath, God's light will illuminate our very nature and what's in our heart for that review. God sees. And we've said many times in 2 Timothy, I'm just going to make reference to 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit gives us power, love, and a sound mind. It's a very powerful thing that we need to be utilizing and growing in God's Spirit, that truth. Because to be a child of light, which we are, requires that we put our whole heart and soul into the work we do. Our very life depends on it. This includes concentrating with the mind, directing the emotion, seeking and using the will of God to do a complete, and I mean a complete and detailed job with excellence, because God expects us to have excellence in our life. And we're to do a job consistent with God's character and God's standards. We should be following what God has placed before us. God's chief concern for our thoroughness is in the inward cleansing of our hearts. And based on the need for inward thoroughness, we should pray to God for that. We cannot do it on our own. We have to seek it, and God will grant it. We must want to thoroughly search our heart. And by this, By doing this, God will reveal to us the hidden areas of sin and uncleanness. He is more than capable of doing that, eliminating any hidden darkness. For us to clearly see and then do what it takes to overcome with God's help, we change our ways so that they are pleasing in God's sight. Each of us should expect that, not only from yourself, but for each other of your family here sitting with us today. God is working with us. He will turn off the spiritual darkness by showing and revealing His truth to us through His words. We have to stay focused in His words. We are to share in this revelation now. And when we are changed, that's just ahead of us, when we are changed at Christ's return, we'll be teaching others in their appointed time. Because now it's not their appointed time by God. Let us have a plan for what is coming in God's timeline and fully understand it is God's timeline. And we have a limited amount of time left for us that are being called now to really, fully do what God requires of us. So we're to have that plan and let that plan be God's eternal light for His sons and His daughters, all of us. And remember that God's light requires no batteries. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.